Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the first ever episode of the Orange and Blueprint podcast. My name is Anthony and I am your host, and I will be breaking down all things New York Knicks. In this episode, we're going to recap the NBA draft from a Knicks perspective, touch on the rumor mill. That's probably going to be a regular thing around here, unfortunately. And then look into free agency. Like I said, it starts, I believe tomorrow, as a matter of fact, July the 1st. You can't sign a deal until July 10th, I believe. But I do know that we are right on the edge of major moves in the NBA, which never, ever seems to stop. They just crowned champions. We just had a draft, and we're going to remake teams. It's craziness. But for the Knicks concerned, let's go ahead and recap that draft, which I think was underrated and great. Phil Jackson and company famously took Chris Tapes Porzingis in the fourth pick of the draft. This guy is apparently one of the most highly rated talents in the draft, coming out of Spain via Latvia, Latvia via Spain, I should say. And he's got crazy length. He's 7'3". He's got like a 30-foot wingspan. He weighs 200 pounds, maybe. So he needs to bulk up. But I mean, I've watched some tape of this guy. He can shoot. He likes to bang on cats and he can block shots. So if he can just do that for 20 minutes a game in his rookie season, you know, that's good enough for me. Hopefully he can put some weight on. Phil Jackson said he reminds him of a Pau Gasol with range. And I'm down for that. I'm down for that for sure. But there was also some other draft picks, I should say, that night. It's not getting enough press, I don't think, but the Knicks pulled an amazing trade to unload the terrible, I shouldn't say that. He's not terrible, but they unloaded Tim Hardaway Jr., who tricked a lot of people into thinking he can shoot, and he can't, and he certainly can't do anything else on the basketball court, but, you know, he's Atlanta's problem now. They shipped him out to Atlanta for the 19th pick, which they took Jerian Grant, point guard out of Notre Dame. And I did a little bit of research in the season on him, and I love his size. I love the fact that he's got 3 years, I think, 3 or 4 years. I don't think he's a senior, but he's an experienced, smart player at 6'5". He's got good size to play the point or switch over to the two if they need be for the short term. And I love the way he plays. He's a pick and roll type player, so he's not going to fit exactly into what they traditionally see at the triangle offense. But I think that shows that we're going to have a more fluid offense, a little more hybrid stuff, like we saw at the end of the season with the Knicks. And that's going to be really, really exciting to watch. Especially, I hope those two can kind of really connect, be the point and the 4 or 5 of the future for the franchise. Try and say that 4 times fast. Jeez. I'm really high on Grant, really high on Chris Tapes. And last but not least, in the second round, we traded for one of the, I think it was 19 forwards the 76ers picked up in their so-called sandbagging. Shout out to Justin. Sandbagging is his term. Whatever Sam Hinkle is doing there, it's sure to be a colossal failure or at least a disappointment, whatever they did. But we traded them a couple of second-round picks and maybe some cash for a center out of Spain who actually played with Chris Tapes on the same Spanish team, and his name is Hernan Gomez. I love his name. One day I'll be able to say it correctly, but while he won't come over to play with the Orange and Blue this year, I do believe they are in talks to have him come over next year. I think there might be a buyout situation. And this guy is what Chris Tapes lacks in weight. This guy is a banger. He's 6'11". You think he's at 260, something like that. And he has all the kind of skill you expect out of a Euro, but he can really kind of get physical with people. And I think he'll be a good depth going forward. And amongst things that are good is always to try and make someone who's your hopeful face of the franchise player, make them as comfortable as you can be. And I don't know who ordered it. It's either Phil or maybe Chris Tapes was like, yo, hook my homie up. But I'm always down for that when it can be advantageous to the rest of the team. So we picked up three guys who could potentially be at least solid rotation players for the Knicks going forward. They're all under 25, I guess, so they have room to grow, especially Chris Tapes. So they can do all that kind of stuff, and they can get better over time. I feel like these are moves that are not Nick moves. The Nick move would have been to trade out of four to get a veteran and a long contract. But no, we've got Phil Jackson, the Zen master, running the show, and we're doing things that are smart for once, and it's making people crazy. It's making people scared, and that's what happens when you abuse a fan base for, you know, 30 years. It's been literally 30 years. This is the highest pick we've had since we drafted Patrick Ewing, number one overall, in 85. So this is the highest pick. I'm turning 30 in a couple of weeks, and this is the highest pick in my entire life. And they took Kristaps Porzingis. And so I imagine, yeah, a lot of people are going to be stressed out about it, but I think this guy could be good. I really do. I really, really do, and I hope that he doesn't get too saddled with trying to put on so much weight. I think that if he can just learn how to defend a little bit, he's, like I said, he's got the crazy wingspan. He's already 7'1". He's listed at 7'3", so he's somewhere in there. And with his wingspan, I'm sorry, he should be able to kind of hold his own defensively most nights just with his length to make people work. And he'll learn how to play the fit more physical game, more athletic game. But I mean, if I'm taking him out there versus, you know, whomever, he's going to have a good chance to score to at least mitigate some of the damage that's going to be done on the defensive end towards him while he learns to play more NBA defense. So there's some level of good vision there. They say he could be the next Dirk. I'm hoping he could be the next Kevin Durant, just a tall guy who's never going to really weigh as much as he should to play the power forward, play more of a two type game, and pick and pops and shoot from three, put on the floor a little bit. I'm down for all that. So we'll see what happens with him, you know, going forward. So we've got went over the draft. I really like, again, I can't stress enough how much I like the pick of Jerry and Grant. There was a meme going around of Dirk and Steve Nash, and I believe it was Don Nelson, where they were talking. They just had those guys when they had their jerseys up for the Mavericks back in the day, and they had a picture of Phil, Jerry and Chris Tapes. And man, I think that might be a long shot, two Hall of Famers, but I mean, we'll see. Hopefully, they can be at least get some All Star appearances, and maybe. Maybe one day, if I dare to dream, that they can end this nasty curse of Knicks being, you know, unable to win a championship. But that's far and away, way too far on. I'm a little afraid to even say that. I mentioned earlier that people were a little shocked about the draft pick, kind of just the fear of the unknown with Chris Tapes. I guess the rumor is that kind of extended to Carmelo Anthony, our franchise forward now. And apparently sources, quote unquote sources, say that he called to Tim Hardaway Jr., a guy who sources also said he had a beef with earlier in the season, and they weren't talking then, called to him and said, hey, I hate this guy, whatever, whatever. Or that Carmelo was upset about the pick, wanting them to get a veteran or something to that effect. Sources said those things. And the media ran with it, as the media tends to do. But Carmelo Anthony, a person like just about everyone on this planet, has an Instagram account, went on there, said he had no problem with it, looks forward to playing with Chris Tapes, and hopes they can really kind of get something going together. There was nary a word on that for a good 2 days. And so, you know, all of the media outlets, especially with the Knicks, just blew it all up, kind of ignored what he said because sources, hashtag sources. And That's always so annoying with the New York Knicks media. I hate it so much, but it's a cost of doing business in the City of Lights, I guess. So there was that rumor. It means nothing. It means literally nothing. Like all rumors, not all, but most of them mean nothing. He's not going to be traded, at least not now. He hasn't asked to be traded, and he's allowed to have a reaction that almost all the Knicks fans had. I had it. I said, who is this guy? And I ranted and raved about it. And then I started doing some research, and you know what? He's as good of a pick as any at that number, at number four. And I feel like maybe Carmelo Anthony had the same kind of reaction. He's human. Just because he makes $124 million doesn't mean he's supposed to not privately express any emotion he might have. It makes no sense. It makes literally no sense. He didn't go on blasting in the media or anything like that. He may possibly have said, who is this guy, to people around him, and someone went and ran with it, namely Stephen A. Smith, who sucks. But anyway, so that was one rumor that kind of, again, like I said, it means nothing. There's also lots of rumors floating around right now with free agency approaching. So kind of get into that. The Knicks have been linked to everybody. Everybody on the planet Knicks have been linked to, which is fine. You know, again, rumors, what do they mean? Spent a long time looking at how the cap would explode and how the Knicks are going to have close to, I believe it was between $26 and $30 million worth of cap after Phil Jackson masterfully tore down this roster. And let me actually speak on that for a moment. Phil Jackson came in with a team that was capped out with no draft picks from here to 2020, who knows. And he's managed to get rid of all of our expensive players. He's decided to bring back Carmelo Anthony, and he gave him the max contract. And you can't say that he's not worth it, because he fills the seats. From a business standpoint, if you don't have Carmelo Anthony, you're going to sell out anyway, but you still need that higher profile player to be on the team that can also be someone who franchise type players may want to play with. And say what you want about Carmelo Anthony, he was hurt last year from basically game one. And he played his tail off on one leg out there to the tune of 10 wins. But it was a dysfunctional team that was in teardown mode. And you know what? He's our guy, and we should just kind of roll with it, because he's a great player. He needs great players around him. And last year, he played half the season on one leg with a D-League roster or players who didn't want to be there, like Tyson Chandler and Raymond Felton, who luckily Phil could get rid of both of those guys, brought in Jose Calderon. Jose was hurt and probably lacked a little bit of motivation because the team was so terrible, but he still got talent, got skills, and can be another type of veteran person to be around. And so I really like what Phil has done in his tenure here. I'm all in on the Zen Garden way to be. And so I think that we've got a lot of stuff going. And like I said, now we've got all this cap space. The tank didn't work as well as it was supposed to, but we end up with the highest upside guy in the draft. So at four, you want a guy who can be a star, and maybe this guy can be a star. If not, he can be a complimentary player who we have basically the contract leverage to keep him on a cost-controlled contract for 9-10 years going into a super inflated cap with new money floating in, where LeBron James is going to get $40 million a year or some insanity like that or whatever I saw. We've got this guy who maybe can be, if he can end up being a top 15 player in the league, top 20, that means he's a success. And actually, I'm going to rant on that for a second now too. The questions around Chris Tapes are so completely out of bounds, out of line compared to all the other players. The NBA draft is full of guys who have questions. Everyone above him has questions. Karl-Anthony Towns, he's the number one overall pick. Somehow he became the consensus top pick towards the end of the season, after playing for Kentucky, the biggest team in the NCAA by far, one of the biggest, would be one of the biggest teams in the NBA with all of the players that Calipari has had on that roster. And so they're just out here just destroying cats physically, outclassing people all the time. But we get to watch Karl-Anthony Towns, whom I love, or loved, I guess. But like, he's a great player. But we saw him 20 minutes a game, and he fouled most of the game. He had a lot of, like I said, foul issues. And is it, there's just no question that a guy who played with another defender who was deemed to probably be the better defender, another lottery pick amongst a bunch of lottery picks, there's no question about how good he is, apparently. And but when I come and look at how he was reviewed on scouting reports or how he's going to be evaluated, they're saying give him a couple years to learn from KG and this guy's going to be special. Okay. Okay, yeah, give him a couple years. That's perfectly fine. He's 19, 20, or whatever he is right now. D'Angelo Russell, he's a guy who has looks like he has great skills, and I think he's a great point guard. But if you're watching his highlight tape, how many of the highlights are coming from playing Northwestern or Minnesota? Like, I mean, the Big Ten isn't a basketball power conference, and Ohio State's run in the tournament wasn't, you know, spectacular. So there should be questions there. I think that he has those questions of competition. That's something that I've seen everywhere, because you can look really good against terrible people. You know, if he was playing me, he would be the first overall pick for 3 years running. But, you know, here we are. So there's some questions there. My boy, and it hurts me to say this because anyone who knows me knows I wanted him for the Knicks all year long. Jahlil Okafor, he is his athleticism enough to play at the NBA level? Or who knows? Who knows? He may not have the requisite athleticism to play at this level. Not to mention he kind of seemed to be have a lot of nagging injuries throughout the year. And for a guy who is a big man to have, you know, ankle injuries or little knee injuries throughout the year, when you play the college schedule, that's a little bit of a concern that I haven't really heard anywhere. But, you know, it's okay because he's from Duke and we saw him on TV. He can't hit free throws. But, you know, that's something he can work on. Now he's playing for the Philadelphia 76ers. They have, like I mentioned, 12 forwards, all of them 6'10 and up. So what's that going to be like when he goes there? What's his attitude going to be like? There are rumors that he's unhappy. You know, I saw something a while ago where he told the 76ers, do not draft me. And this is what they did. They went ahead and drafted him to play behind or with Noel and Embiid, or what's going on with Embiid. So, you know, that whole situation around him, there's lots of questions, and all of them need 1 or 2 years to really get themselves together, like all rookies. Kevin Durant didn't come in the league being Kevin Durant. LeBron James didn't make the playoffs his first year. And for the record, Carmelo Anthony did. So you never know with these guys, but rarely do rookies come in, especially at the top of the lottery, rarely do they come in and become immediate impact players. Another guy I was looking forward to, Emmanuel Mudiay. He fell down the draft slots, and I think he's going to have a really great career, but they say he can't shoot. He's a point guard, and eventually when you're running those pick and rolls that are the offensive taste of the moment, a pick and roll, you know what? They're just going to start going under it. Like they used to treat Rajon Rondo. He's going to have to be able to shoot. That's a big problem. He's got the size and strength to get to the rim, and he might be the most athletic point guard in the draft right now. But if he can't shoot, you know, that's going to be a problem because his athleticism does not appear to be John Wall level. So, I mean, that's a major question there. But everyone's wondering, can Chris Tapes, you know, can he pick up weight? Is he able to play defense? Everyone who comes out of college, who comes into the NBA, needs to pick up muscle weight. Every single person. Or they need to lose some weight. Every one of them. Remember when Shaq came in the league? He actually looked like a small, I guess, quote-unquote small guy. And then he had to put on more weight. And then he, of course, needed to step away from the buffet towards the end of his career. But, I mean, everyone needs to pick up weight. Everyone needs to adjust to the physicality of the game. Nobody plays NBA basketball except NBA basketball players. So miss me with all of that. Oh, he's not ever going to do whatever, or he's going to require so much more. Everyone requires so much more. No one, like I said, no one plays NBA basketball but NBA basketball players. I don't care where you come from. So whatever. That was just a little tangent on my guy, Chris Tapes, which if you had any question whether or not I'm all in, I just ranted about how he is unfairly persecuted and he was just taken fourth in the draft after, you know, his foreign career. But whatever. It's here nor there. Back to free agency. The Knicks have been linked to Greg Monroe all, just about all year, even into the season. That was kind of seemingly where it was going to be at. I personally would like to get him as our kind of our man the center position. He played the four a little bit, not a little bit, primarily in Detroit, but since we won't have the another big, we actually don't have any bigs signed now, he'll be definitely sliding into the four, and hopefully that's the first major piece. I'd like to get a couple of wings who can put Carmelo, slot him down at the four so he can play power forward where he has the most success at this in this part of his career. And then a couple of wings. Like I said, no one over the age of like 26. We still want to be building something here. 26, those prototypical D&3 type guys, maybe a little older depending on who it is. Like I would like to see if we can get DeMarre Carroll out of Atlanta. There's some rumors again of Knicks are trying to reach out to Danny Green. I'm not sure if that's something that would work. I don't know why he would leave San Antonio for New York, but at least not for the franchises anyway. So I don't see it, but it can happen. Clearly we're building something here, and so maybe he can be part of that. That'd be a good fit for the team. Like I said, those two guys, if the Milwaukee Bucks would somehow slip up and let Chris Middleton hit the streets, that'd be nice. I would pounce all over that to just sign him up for a deal here. But those are the kind of guys that I think that we need to really focus on. Wesley Matthews coming off a pretty major, I think it was ACL, MCL injury. I wouldn't mind giving him a shot. I wouldn't mind giving him a shot on some kind of try me out deal and maybe get his bird rights and kind of see how that works out. Something maybe a little short-term beneficial for both sides. I know that all these players are kind of concerned about signing long-term and because they want to take a piece of that TV money pie. But it's got to be something set for security. You know, this is guaranteed money, and Wes Matthews was in line for a max contract before he tore his leg up. So, you know, I think that should play a part in all of their valuations. But what do I know? I'm not one of them, and I, you know, they have to make that own decision themselves. So, yeah, Wes Matthews, Danny Green, DeMarre Carroll, those would be good pickups. Maybe a couple other bigs, but you know, it just kind of matters on what happens with Monroe. There was some talk, or has been some talk, about getting Aaron Aflalo in here. But I've seen he wants like 3 years, 36, and I want no part of that. Unless it's, that's just too much money for him. Also, I'm a little concerned about the age. I want to keep getting younger players in here. People who are going to go into their prime as opposed to exiting their prime. We have Carmelo. He's 30, or maybe 31. I think he's 30 now. So he is squarely on the downside of his career just based on age. The way he plays, also, he plays a real physical game of basketball. I appreciate it. I think it's great. But you know what? That takes its toll. He's been in the league over 10 years now. It's been a – God, I'm old. So he's been in the league for a minute, and he's on the downside of his career. He's already coming off a major injury. He's kind of had a lot of injury history going on. And we need to be looking forward to building both around him, but also going forward for the post-Carmelo as the feature player period. You know, like I said, we're entering the Chris Tapes era. Hopefully he can eventually take over that kind of leadership, not leadership necessarily, but at least leadership on the court, being the scoring lead, the best player on the team, that kind of thing. He needs to be able to do that. But hopefully we can get some players who can become good leaders on the team. We need that. Carmelo's not the emotional leader. He is, for lack of a better term, he is very mellow, except for, you know, when Kevin Garnett's talking foul about his wife. You know, so we need that. We need to have some veteran leadership, but also young talented players who can also get better as they go on. Greg Monroe would be a big start to that. I'd like to see what we can do there. But I also want to make sure that we conserve cap space. I believe I've heard, and I'm not a capologist, but I've heard that if the Knicks spend all their cap this year, they could have an equal number of cap at that cap in 2017, I believe. So that'll be exciting. We can kind of see where everyone's going to go. Free agency starts soon, tomorrow. Then we have the moratorium. And if, fun fact, the moratorium, if you're unfamiliar, there's a period in the NBA where you can agree to contracts but not sign them. That's that first July 1st to the 10th primarily. That's usually the dates. And that is because during that time, the NBA has to figure out what the cap is going to be. They give teams an estimation of it earlier in the year. That's kind of how they plan around it. That's how everyone can estimate what type of moves are available to teams. But they don't even know. They don't even know for sure until they do an audit. And that's done the first week of July. So, yeah, fun fact. That's something I heard. Sharing all the information I can. It's not always worthwhile, but that's what you came here for. So, yeah, we're going to look at what we're going to do there with free agency. I'm interested to see because I really like what Phil Jackson is doing. Him, and I'll give credit to Steve Mills. I don't know what Steve Mills does, but he's always with Phil Jackson, and he is apparently going to be the guy who replaces Jackson when he leaves. Jackson said he's going to stay his entire contract. We'll see. He's getting kind of old, and I hope that he can turn it around quick enough where he feels like he can ride off into the sunset. But we'll see about that. But I do like the moves that we've made. We got a lot of draft picks. We've moved picks for players. We've got two draft and stashes right now. Willie, I talked about earlier, and a guy in France, I believe, too. So we got a couple of big stashed overseas who are still developing now and kind of picking up stuff. We've done a lot of good work using the D-League affiliate, the Westchester Knicks, kind of talking about how to rebuild the franchise from the ground up. And I really think that Phil's done a great job. And he might not like it, but I feel like what he's done is just try and emulate everything that the Spurs have done over their 20-year period of dominance. And if we end up going on a run of just getting 50 win after 50 win ad nauseum, I'm down for it. So I like what we got going. We got a lot of young, talented players under contract. We got a lot of cap space where we can get older players who are a little more experienced and can lead this team to some victories, some success, some sustained success, also while being smart about it. Those are things that haven't been attached to the Knicks in I don't know how long. So, yeah, I'm down for all of that. This is the same guy who kicked out J.R. Smith when the Knicks had previously re-signed him, I believe, twice. So, if anything, he wins me over for that. Let me see if there's anything else I want to touch on. Excuse me. We're following the Spurs model, and we're going to just see what everything happens. I'll wrap it up here. That's this is the first ever episode of the Orange and Blueprint podcast. Just ripping straight through things. I'm trying to destroy all the rumors all the time. No Nick narratives in this neighborhood. Check everything out on hiphopsportsreport.com. Shout out to everybody there. Justin and Kenny, what's going on? Check out the mock draft. That was always great. And Knicks tape. Peace.